Hi, I'm Nikki from Teaching Autism, and welcome to the Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. Are you an autism or special education professional? Are you a teacher or therapist looking for support and new ideas? You may even be a parent, family member, or carer. This podcast is perfect to help you find out more information, support, and get some of your questions answered. Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode on our Teaching Autism and Special Education Community Podcast. After the episode where I interviewed Kate Dawson from the All-in-One Company about sensory clothing, I have had a lot of you reach out and ask me if I'll do more podcasts about sensory and sensory needs for individuals with autism. And there are so many things that I could discuss about sensory needs, but I thought that I would start today with talking about sensory processing disorder, because this is one of the questions that I get asked the most about. People have heard of sensory processing disorder, but they don't necessarily know what it is or what individuals who have this actually feel and experience. And I think it's crazy that at least 1 in 20 people in our population may have sensory processing disorder. And yet it's something that many people may still have never heard of or know that even exists. Individuals who are on the autistic spectrum can have difficulty processing everyday sensory information. And like I always try and be clear in my podcast episodes and blog posts and anything that I share with you guys, is that this does not cover all individuals on the spectrum. The spectrum is huge and everyone is different on it, so one size does not fit all. So please bear this in mind today when we're talking about sensory differences and specifically sensory processing disorder. I wanted to get a sort of official sentence about what sensory processing disorder is to start with before we go off and talk more about it. So, courtesy of WebMD.com, sensory processing disorder is a condition in which the brain has trouble receiving and responding to information that comes in through senses. So sensory processing disorder is also known for short as SPD, and it's basically where the brain and the nervous system have trouble processing or integrating stimulus. So one of the things that I always feel like I need to emphasize about this is that everyone who has sensory processing disorder is different too. And having sensory processing disorder can mean that the individual's senses are oversensitive or undersensitive or both. And this can be different at different times as well. So the way that their senses respond affects their behavior. And as you can imagine, this can actually have a really big effect on their day-to-day lives because sensory is all around us and we can often take this for granted. So let's discuss oversensitive and undersensitive, because these can be quite confusing if you're new to all of this and you don't really know what each of the terms mean. So oversensitive is pretty much as you can imagine. The individual is oversensitive to all things sensory, and this can be very painful for the individual regarding things that we may not even notice. So for example, the fabric of a shirt touching their skin, and it may rub their skin, making it itchy or even hurt. And I know many years ago, I met a young girl and she was diagnosed with sensory processing disorder. She was very oversensitive to the point that if something touched her, even just if your finger brushed across your skin, it was too much for her. She would scream and cry. It was as if someone was burning her and she was just very oversensitive. However, I will say that not all was lost. She had a fantastic occupational therapist who started to work with her and they made a huge amount of progress. Now, that's not to say the sensory need disappeared, but the occupational therapist was able to provide a lot of help and help her manage this in different ways. Now, on the other end, you have individuals who are undersensitive to sensory stimulus. So have you ever met an individual who doesn't seem to respond to things that you think they should? So one example is they may fall over and cut themselves or bump their head, and you may think, ouch, that must have hurt. But they run off without a care in the world. And it's happened to me so many times that I have lost count. Someone has maybe taken a little tumble, because you know how children can be at 3 and 4 years old when everything in the world is so exciting and they're running around trying to get to the swing outside or to their favorite sensory tray, and they just have a little tumble. And we go to rush over and check that they're okay and they haven't hurt themselves. But before we get to them, they're up and they're running again. They didn't even seem to notice or register what happened. And this could actually be because they just didn't feel it. they haven't recognized or registered that they've fallen and that they've hurt themselves and that they've cut themselves. And the same can also be with the weather. So we all know the weather can do strange things. And we've had students who don't really understand about the weather changing so quick, when it can go from really sunny and warm to really cold. And this has often led to a few issues where we have had many students who want to wear shorts and t-shirt outside in the middle of winter when it's freezing cold, and even when it's been snowing, or in the summer they want to wear their thick jumper and jeans. Does this sound familiar? Now, some of this can be quite frightening because we know if it's boiling outside and a child is wrapped up in a lot of layers, this could cause some health implications for them. So we like to try and use resources to teach about appropriate clothing for different weather to try and help to aid with this, and it does seem to help. So every morning when we complete our morning workbooks, we have an adapted book that my students work through, and they spell their name, they have their picture, what school they go to, how they're feeling, what day it is. But we also have how's the weather. So the children, we encourage them to look outside, they look how the weather is, and they choose a matching symbol. Now the next page after this is what should we wear in this weather? So this is another great opportunity for me to work with the students about understanding weather and what they should be wearing in different types of weather. So this is all functional skills that we can take forward and use when it's time to decide what we're going to wear for what weather. So if you would like to know more about the morning work that we do, I will link a video in the show notes and a link to some of those resources so you can check them out as well. I also use sequencing adapted books. So the one that we like to use is for the winter and what we should be wearing outside when it's cold. So I know that when the weather comes around for us and it's quite cold, a lot of my students, they don't want to wear their hat and their gloves. They don't want to wear their coat. It's been summer for so long and they've enjoyed the freedom of wearing shorts and t-shirt. So we use a sequencing adapting book with each of the students, and this is how they get dressed before they go out to play. So they have to follow the instructions in the adapted book as well, and it does work really, really well for my students. So I'll link that as well. You can check that out too and see if that would be helpful with your students as well. Now, while we're talking about sensory processing disorder, I also wanted to share something that I feel a lot of people don't really realize. So we are always teaching about the five senses, and you know, we were probably taught about the five senses when we were in school. Well, we actually have eight sensory systems, and they are visual, auditory, tactile, olfactory, gustatory, vestibular, proprioception, and interoception. So what do these mean? Well, I'm going to break them down into just super quick and easy to understand sentences, so you're not feeling a little bit overwhelmed with all the information today. So your visual system is, as you can imagine, for seeing. Your auditory system is for hearing. Your olfactory system is for processing smells. Your gustatory system is for taste. Your tactile system is for processing touch. Your vestibular system is what helps with balance and orientation in space. Your proprioception system is the sense of muscle and joint movements, and it also helps us to recognize the position of parts of our body and the effort that we need to use in order to move them. And finally, interoception is the system which is often the most neglected, I would say. Interoceptors are our internal sensory that provide a sense for how our internal organs feel. So for example, when we feel hungry or thirsty, that is what this system does for us. Now, if you're here and listen to this podcast, you probably also want to know, well, what are some signs of sensory processing disorder? How can I recognize it? What should I be looking for? So I thought I would share some of the most common signs with you. Now, there are loads of checklists available online that cover a whole range of different signs that you can look for, and I will link one of those in the show notes as well for you to refer to. But today I'm just going to discuss eight of the most common ones that I feel I see the most when going out to deal with individuals with sensory processing disorder and what we've seen in our classrooms over the years. So number one is being uncoordinated and bumping into objects or people. And this is often from being unable to tell where their limbs are in space and also recognizing personal space. Number two is finding it hard to engage in conversation or play. Number three is being under or over responsive to things like sight, sound, and touch. Number four, finding certain textures and clothes stressful and uncomfortable. They may have to have their labels cut out or have clothes without seams, and certain fabrics may be even more stressful for them than others. Number five, responds to noises or volumes of noises in a way that looks like it's causing the individual distress or pain. And U Defenders are actually really great for helping to aid this. Number six, and this is one that I feel like we all know very well, is diet. Now, diet, as we know, is a huge thing for many individuals on the spectrum, but under the umbrella of sensory processing disorder, textures and colours of food can cause huge issues for many individuals. And if you're interested in finding out more about diet and nutrition, I actually have a podcast episode a few episodes back where I interviewed an autism specialist for nutrition and diet, and she discussed lots of different things with us. So if this is something for you, definitely go back and listen to that episode. Number seven is they may find it difficult to use and develop fine motor skills. And number eight, they may find change or transition hard. Moving classrooms or activities can be very difficult for them. Now, you don't have to have autism to have sensory processing disorder. Anyone can have this. And over the years, it was sort of said that you could not have sensory processing disorder as a standalone disorder. It had to come with something else. Well, recently, I know a lot of experts and researchers tried to get this changed because they do now believe that it is a standalone disorder. However, many individuals with autism can be diagnosed with sensory processing disorder as well. And actually, for many years, sensory processing disorder was actually seen to just be a trait of autism, and it was only during a study in 2013 that it was found that sensory processing disorder had a biological basis that was separate from many other neurological disorders. Now, you may be wondering, what can I do to help my students who are diagnosed with sensory processing disorder? Is there a treatment or a therapy that can help? Well, a lot of occupational therapists do provide help, and they are amazing at their jobs. So if you're going to look for this type of support, I would really encourage you to find an occupational therapist who is skilled with sensory issues. Now, occupational therapists really do go above and beyond, and the name for treating or aiding sensory processing disorder is sensory integration. And I am hoping to interview and bring on an occupational therapist in the near future who can talk all about sensory integration with us. But one of the main goals of sensory integration is to work with individuals with sensory processing disorder in a fun and playful way. And this will help them to respond appropriately and to help them function better in their day-to-day lives as well. An occupational therapist may also put together a sensory diet, and these are fantastic for helping provide support for individuals and help them navigate day-to-day life more successfully. Another question that I get asked a lot about sensory processing disorder is, what causes it? And to be totally honest, right now there's no exact cause that has been identified. A lot of studies and research has gone into sensory processing disorder, and these do suggest that it can often be inherited. However, prenatal and birth complications have also been shown, and environmental factors as well. So that is today's episode, where I'm sharing a little bit with you about SPD, which is sensory processing disorder, and how this can affect individuals as well. Now, I do hope to get an occupational therapist real soon to come onto the podcast and talk to us more about what they do in sensory integration and also about sensory diet as well. So if you are an occupational therapist or you know someone who is really great in their field at this, feel free to send them over to me, email me at contact@teachingautism.co.uk, and I would love to get in touch with you. If not, I'm sure I will find a great professional who is willing to come on the podcast and talk all these things with us. So if you find this podcast episode helpful, please, please really consider just heading over to iTunes and leaving me a super quick review. It doesn't have to be long, but it does mean that more education professionals, parents, teachers, homeschoolers, therapists, they can find us a lot easier, and they can get all the information they need from these episodes as well. So I would really appreciate that. Also, if you have any questions for me, never hesitate to send me an email. I love hearing from you all. But that's all from me today. Thank you for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon.